Blog Talk Radio.
This is Prism Radio's 104th show, and we have a really cool, a really great guest, a wonderful guest. So tonight we're going to get to Bojangles here in a little bit. Before we get to Bojangles, going to take care of a little bit of disclaimer stuff, and just to remind everyone, if you are listening live, that you can call in live and talk to Bojangles, ask him questions, call me. And one thing too, we'll talk about as we go along, that you know, if you have some questions that you want to ask him, ask me. It doesn't necessarily have to be completely related to the show, to anything in that regard. So feel free to call in. That's 914-205-5655. Before we get started and get to our conversation with Bojangles, we are going to take care of a little bit of a disclaimer. So I'll be back here in a second. Please be aware that the opinions of our guests and our live callers is just that, their opinions, and may or may not reflect upon the opinions or views of Trans Women National, TWN Radio, Prism Radio, Holly Knight, or Julie Millwood. Also, although this show is usually suited for all ages, we do recommend that anyone under the age of 16 be accompanied with a parent or guardian. If you have any comments or questions, please let us know, and you can find more information on our website at www.transwomennational.org. Thank you. Hey, welcome back. As I said, we are here tonight. It's the 104th Prism Radio Show, and we're on every second and fourth Monday of each month. And Julie and I will both be working together the end next week. It is the fifth Monday, and when it's the fifth Monday of each month, Julie and I co-host a show. We haven't actually decided exactly what we're going to talk about the next show, but we are going to co-host that at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. She's on the first and the third Monday of each month at 8 o'clock. So we have Bojangles Blanchard tonight. And Bojangles is currently is a minister and is a technology consultant at Humana, which actually we're going to talk about here in a second. I've known Bojangles for a long time. I didn't know what his day job was. I just knew that he was over at Highland Baptist Church and a minister and doing all these amazing things with LGBT equality and marriage equality and fairness campaign and faith leaders and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know if he had didn't I guess I assumed Bojangles you didn't have time to do actual work. So anyway, we have Bojangles. Hi, Bojangles. How are you tonight?
I'm doing well, Holly. Thank you.
Great, great. So one of the things is that it's just my privilege on this show, and it's been a very cool experience where I get the opportunity to get to know people that I've known for a long time already. Like I've known, we've known each other for quite some time now, but we never had the opportunity to really to have these really great conversations about your background, growing up, any of your thoughts on certain things. And that's been a cool experience of this show where I get the chance to interview people and get to know them more. And hopefully the listeners get a better chance and get to know you better as well. So What we're going to do is, if you don't mind, I'm kind of going to start. You were, I guess, born in South Carolina. And what part of South Carolina were you born?
I was born in a little town called Greenwood. And that's it's close to the Georgia border. I think some folks may know where Greenville is. That's a bigger town. That's about an hour north of Greenwood. So, yeah,
okay.
I was born there years ago.
Cool. Yeah, a few. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
few.
Yeah. And you have maintained your accent, which is, I think, is very cool, very just, I've always appreciated that. Actually, for a long time, I thought your accent was more Alabama-ish. And I'm sure, because I think it. Aren't you like an Alabama fan or something, or some?
I'm a Georgia,
fan. You're a
Georgia
big Georgia
Bulldog.
Fan. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, big Georgia Bulldog fan. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh no, go ahead.
Well, so did you? Upon leaving high school, you went through high school in Greenwood.
Came here in Louisville when I was a teenager,
and
so completed high school here in Louisville. Went to college at University of Louisville, and majored in criminal justice. And so I got my bachelor's of science in justice administration. And then, in the midst of life and the way it changes, got hired on at Humana, and have been there since.
Wow. Wow,
so
you've been there quite some time.
Yes, I have. I've been there for some years.
Now, one of the things, of course, we'll talk about a lot on this show because it is a LGBT show, so sexuality, identity, gender, all that kind of stuff is one of the things that we talk about a little bit on here. So I guess my first question is, when did you realize, I mean, have you always kind of known you were gay, or at what point? And then I was going to ask you, in the early years of Humana, how did they deal with that if you were out at that time?
Right. I guess I don't think I knew I was gay all the way growing up. Where I grew up, we didn't talk about that kind of stuff, and I didn't hear about gay people, homosexuals, and stuff. I just didn't hear about it. I knew I was attracted to guys, but I can't say that I knew that meant I was gay.
Right.
As I, turned into, got aged and became a teenager and whatnot, I guess I really at that point started to understand that this attraction was getting stronger. And had to really look at it and say, well, what does this mean? And growing up where I grew up and in the church, that just wasn't an option to be homosexual. And so I hid it. I hid it the best I knew how. And, it wasn't until I was in my early 20s to where I was fed up hiding it and accepted who I was and, as they say, came out.
Right.
When I began at Humana, it was, they weren't, they weren't in any way homophobic that I could pick up. It was don't ask, don't tell. So it was keep that part of yourself outside of work and we won't have any problems. And it's changed drastically since that time. But that was at the time where all this was still kind of taboo. You didn't talk about it. You didn't display it, that type thing.
Right, exactly. So you get, you're at Humana, you're kind of at that point, experience that. At what point did you, I don't know if we want to get too deep in this. I mean, I do personally, but there's a lot of things we want to cover. But at what point did you come to grips with your faith and your sexuality?
That's a profound question, and so for those listening to understand, church was a second home for me, and we were at church Sundays, and then Wednesdays, and then back on Sundays, and so it was, like I say, a second home. And when I came to the realization that I was gay, obviously I couldn't return to the denomination that I was raised in, because it was clear in preaching and in doctrine in the church that and they use the word lifestyle, which I absolutely despise, mm-hmm. but that lifestyle, they use that word, would not be tolerated and was not a Christian lifestyle. So I kind of went into exile mm-hmm. after coming out, and never really felt like God hated me. I never felt mm-hmm. that way. Mm-hmm. Even though I had been force-fed this crap, excuse my language,
yeah.
theology,
uh-huh.
mm-hmm. I didn't believe it. And so it took time, it took research, and it took God working in my life to call me back into my faith and then ultimately into ministry. And so
right.
I would say it probably took a good 5 years after coming out to where I really felt like, hey, I'm a Christian. I don't have to apologize for it. I have to explain myself to other Christians. I'm a follower of Christ, and I happen to be gay.
Mm-hmm.
But it took some time.
Yeah.
And you know
yeah.
why? People still try to talk me out of it, but it's not going to happen.
It's absolutely amazing, and how that it's really interesting. And I will tell you again, you and I talked about before the show, I think it would be really good. I'd like to get like maybe it would be really cool to get like a panel conversation
mm-hmm.
With some people on this. But how to me personally, there is a strong feeling that there is divine presence in the LGBT movement these days.
Oh yeah.
And it's almost this feeling that, at least to me, is that like the Pharisee type of mentality. It's almost like Jesus is really tired of these holier-than-thou people trying to pretend to be mm-hmm. perfect and Bible thumping and stuff. And there's so
right.
much strength coming from the LGBT community that in that direction. But it's just really cool. One of the other things is I don't think you and I have talked about this, but also in the LGBT community there is a strong hatred toward Christian people because of how many mm-hmm. or Christianity because how many Christian people have been so mean to them. And how have you
right.
dealt with that?
That's been tough. And Holly,
yeah.
I continue to deal with that. Mm-hmm. So let me start out by saying I completely understand where they're coming from. And at times, I can tell you right now, I am sick to death of, and I'm using air quotes, of Christians. Because
mm-hmm.
sometimes the meanest people you come across call themselves Christians. I
yeah.
get that.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, this bitterness, this hostility that some in the LGBT community they maintain that even when things start to get better, there's still this
mm-hmm.
identification with a victim mentality, and it makes reconciliation impossible.
Right.
And so
right.
that is a continuing challenge. I'm not saying that we're done with the Christian bigots. We're not. But
mm-hmm.
there are some fine people that are working very hard to open the churches up and welcome and affirm LGBT folk, and
mm-hmm.
it's going on right in here in Louisville and et cetera. But it's difficult for me because I don't really fit in with either group. Let me explain what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm an ordained Baptist minister, and it's almost like and I won't say the transgender community as much as the lesbian gay resent my ministry, my being a minister. I guess I'm not sure how they see it, but it's almost like a sellout. Then on the
mm-hmm.
other side, I'm too gay to fit in with the Christians.
True. I understand.
So, you
yeah.
know, I'm too Christian
yeah.
to fit in with the, you know. And so
mm-hmm.
you're caught in the middle trying mm-hmm. to speak the truth that you feel is redemptive and healing, and it gets lonesome.
Right.
So that's kind
right.
of the best way I can explain it.
Yeah. Well, so it is my impression, I guess, and it's not by any means am I an expert in any of this, but historically it seems to me that because I have Native American heritage and I accept my Native American ancestry really strong. And so, and my mom, I joke about it all the time, but my mom, we would watch Westerns in the old days, and she was rooting for the Indians to beat the white man, and she referred to the white man as the white man, as if none of us were white and that kind of stuff.
Right.
So it was really kind of interesting. But when you kind of, one of the things is the people that dealt with similar feelings, that's not sexuality necessarily, but where the people that were like what they called in those days half-breeds, and that were kind of stuck. The white people didn't accept them, and the American Indian did not accept them, and it was this type of thing. But in my opinion, though, I think those people eventually ended up bridging the gap between the two. It helped them.
Yeah, great point.
Yeah, it helped, because it got to be a point that there was some of the white people loving for that person because they were part of them, and some of the Native American people loving, and so it got to be a point where we have to kind of come together a little bit. And although there's still historically some issues, but I think in some ways that's happened a little bit in the African American relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there has to be some bridging of the gap in the faith thing a little bit, and in some ways that's what Jesus did. I mean, he was some part of both, and so he kind of bridged that gap. So Matt, we're getting real deep here. So let's get a little less deep. And so you were ordained Highland Baptist Church in May of 2012. Congratulations. I remember when that happened.
Thank you.
I'm very proud of you for that. And now you lead the True Colors Ministry. If I am
correct,
understand that was back before. That's been around longer than 2012,
yes.
Right?
Right.
Yeah.
So
tell us about that.
I was already dating my present husband at the time, and this was during that time of exile from church. And so I'd heard about Highland Baptist, and we visited a couple of times, and I asked the pastor, Joe Phelps, who, if any of y'all are able to meet him, he's an incredible guy. I asked him, I said, Joe, would this church ever consider ordaining an openly gay man? And he thought for a second. He says, yeah, I think they would. So at that point, Dominique and I felt safe enough to kind of plant roots there. And as I was in seminary, and working full-time, I started the True Colors Ministry there, which was the first open and affirming LGBT ministry in any Baptist church in the South. Mm-hmm. And so I took that idea before the deacons in the Baptist church. That's who makes the church-wide decisions. And I explained the purpose of the ministry, which was not to change anyone's sexuality, but to affirm them and let them know God has loved them from the beginning for who they are, not in spite of their sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
And that ministry has been going strong for 5 years. And after a year before I graduated seminary, I was ordained at Highland. But like you said, True Colors was already going strong, and we have we've done all kind of things around faith and LGBT folk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been very, very it just, in my opinion, is very, very important. So important for so many, because I think it just is such an empty part sometimes that people go through, and they need that, because there's so many of us that have faith in our background, and when we transition or we come out or we exist as this new butterfly, we have to find some place to call home. So.
You're exactly right. And we had you and Holly, you and Dawn come and speak at the church. And that was wonderful, too. So, yeah, we've been partners on this journey for some time.
Yeah, yeah, we have. And whether it's been in the same room or not, we've been partners on this journey.
Right,
for sure.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a good, and I connected with a couple people from that event at your church with Dawn. And some people I still have been in contact with, so that was really good. All right, so moving forward a little bit, you recently was a criminal, from what I remember reading in the paper. Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
So, you know, the question I have, and so give us a little bit there, but one of the questions I want you to answer for us is, what I have is, I want the story, but I want to know a little bit behind the story, like, was that, when you walked in there, you had to know it was going to happen, so I'm assuming there was some planning involved that, all right, Dominique, which is your husband now, which was who went there with you, the two of you probably said, all right, this is possibly going to happen, we're going to stay there, and we're probably going to get arrested. But answer that when you tell the story, if you don't mind.
Okay, sure. So this, let me start where the kind of the crux of the whole idea to do what we did happen. We, in this is January of 2013, we had two members of True Colors. They were a couple, an older couple, and one of them was deaf, and his name, and he's, they're fine with me sharing names because I've done it throughout the entire journey. But one of them's name was Buster and the other Kevin. Well, Buster was a deaf gentleman. And so this is early January, and Kevin had been at his job that day and knew that Buster was going to go to a meeting with other deaf folks. They met up several times a month. Well, when Kevin got home that night, lights were off. There was nobody there, and so he started calling Buster's cell phone. No answer. So he was getting nervous and everything, and he continued to call, and finally a woman answered the phone. And she said, well, who is this? And he says, I'm Kevin. I'm Buster's partner. She said, well, Buster's been in a terrible accident, and I'm a nurse here at University Hospital. Oh. And she says, you know, this is serious. So, of course, Kevin just ran out of the apartment. Mm-hmm. Went straight down, and for 2.5 hours, the doctors and the nurses would not give him any information on Buster because they didn't consider him family. Mm-hmm. And so here these men have been together for 5 years. They built, you know, their bank accounts are one. They bought mm-hmm. things with each other. They built a life. And yet he's sitting here and can't find out how Buster is. So finally, 3 hours pass, and he's still in a waiting room. Buster's adult son shows up. Well, he's also deaf. And so Kevin signs to him to ask the doctor, how's Buster? And so the son does that, and the doctor looks at the son and at Kevin and says, Buster passed away 2 hours ago.
Oh, no. I did not know that. Wow.
Yeah. And so and even when I share that story today, there's pain, but there's also an incredible anger that mm-hmm. comes from being treated like that.
Right.
So Kevin called me late that night, and he said, Reverend, we can't put up with this anymore. And to give you all a little background, I have gone with the Fairness Campaign year after year after year to our state capitol here in Kentucky and lobbied for marriage equality, for equal rights, and every year we returned back. And so we, Dominique and I prayed that night after the call from Kevin about hearing Buster's passing. And we felt the Lord calling us to a nonviolent action, but a very public one, standing up against this type of discrimination. Mm-hmm. And so we decided that we would apply for a marriage license. And when we were denied, we would hold a nonviolent pray-in as a form of resistance.
Mm-hmm.
Because mm-hmm. we were fed up. Especially
yeah.
after this incident.
Yeah.
And so we decided to do that on January 23rd, 2013. And we had a marriage equality rally out in front of the courthouse here in Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
And we invited the Fairness Campaign and others, and nobody would come because many of you may not know, but at that time, marriage equality was so far off the radar that
mm-hmm.
some of the leading LGBT folk felt like to bring it up would move us back from the
right.
progress we had
right.
made.
And
so it was just us and some others out there. And then, let's see here, is it 4 o'clock? We got our signs, our picket signs, and went inside, and we applied for a marriage license. We were denied. And I remember asking the clerk, because I remind you, all these news cameras are there and our friends. And so we walk in, and I said, can we have a marriage license? And she said, who's getting married? And I gestured toward Dominique, and I said, he and I would like to get a marriage license. She says, I can't give you one. Now, I knew the reason, but I wanted her to say it so the cameras could hear it. So I said, why not? She said, well, the state of Kentucky says it's illegal for a same-sex marriage to a same-sex couple to receive a marriage license. And so I said, ma'am, we're not angry at you. I realize you're doing your job. But we have a spiritual obligation to sit here and pray as a form of resistance against this discrimination. And she said, okay. So Dominique and I sat down. Our friends from church were there. And we prayed in that lobby. And as the time reached close to five, you could tell people were getting nervous. And so your question was, how did Dominique and I feel? Well, we were very nervous, very nervous. We knew there was a real possibility that we would be arrested, but we felt spiritually called by God to stand up, to finally stand up. And so we trusted the Lord. If we got arrested, God was going to be with us. And it got near 5 o'clock, and the security guard there said, gentlemen, it's time to leave. And we said, politely, we're not going to leave. And they called the police, and I remember the sergeant coming in. He made everybody else leave the room, so all our friends and the media. And he pulled a chair up in front of both of us. We're sitting there in the lobby of the clerk's office, and he says, he looks at me and says, Reverend, you got two choices. You can get up and leave, both of you, right now, and I'll write you a citation for trespassing. Or you remain, I arrest both of you, and you still get charged with trespassing. And he said, so those are your choices. And I remember I had Dominic's hand in mine. And I looked at him, and I looked back at the man. I said, we have no choice. We're spiritually obligated. And he said, okay. So he arrested both of us. They took us to jail. And, you know, long story short, we were charged with trespassing. And we went to trial over it. And we were ultimately found guilty by a jury, and the jury could fine us $250 max each for this charge. And they came back and they charged us one penny each. It was the lowest, it was the lowest ever fine they've ever had. And it was a moral victory, Holly. You know what I'm saying? I mean, this was not a group of gay people. These were older Kentuckians. And they understood why we did what we did. And so after that, I know you may ask this, but after that is when we took our case federal, and it eventually ended up going to the Supreme Court.
And, of course, we end up getting federal equality.
Yes. Ultimately, and we weren't the only ones, but we would be first. I will say that. So, you know, this... And that's God. You can have the best attorneys. You can have the most adorable plaintiffs. But us taking this case all the way to the Supreme Court and then them ruling in our favor, and now the entire nation has marriage equality, that is a God movement. And I stand beside that the Lord was with us every step of the way and continues to be, like you said, you can feel it in the movement.
Right. So, and in addition to that, and we probably don't want to go here, but in addition to that, because you and I were involved in a meeting back with HRC at some point, and I think you walked out of the meeting years ago. That you were not only fighting against all these other things, but as you said, I don't think anybody was fighting against you or that, but I think it was a strategic thought INDA type of laws was more important than the marriage laws. And as you said, the marriage laws was considered a distraction from getting the other thing done. And even through all that, the marriage equality goes through. So pretty amazing. Yeah. So there's a quote in, I think you had in the Courier Journal. You said, if we don't act, we are accomplices of our own discrimination. Pretty powerful.
That's right.
Yeah, pretty powerful. Yeah. So, and so you were in jail. How long were you in jail? Did I lose you? Uh-oh. Did I lose anybody? I don't know if you can hear me, but I think I've lost connection here. So, Bojangles, if... Oh. It looks like you are no longer on. And... it looks like I'm still on. Yeah. So we're going to take a break here and call in. I'm guessing he will call back here in a minute. So we're going to do a call-in commercial. We'll be right back. Hey there. Did you know you could call in live to ask questions or even make comments at 914-205-5655? When you call, please be patient, and we'll get to you as soon as we can. You will be able to listen to the show live as you wait. The number is 914-205-5655. The number is also on the Blog Talk Radio page where you are currently listening live. You can also participate in a live chat on our Trans Women National Facebook page. The link is available on the Blog Talk Radio page or our website. Thank you, and back to the show. Welcome back, and I think we have Bojangles back online here, it looks like. Bojangles, are you there?
Yes, I'm
okay.
Sorry.
That's okay. That's all right. No problem. So
I don't know where I lost you, but...
It's technology. I know you deal with it. It's kind of interesting. I work at the IT department over at Brown-Forman, so it actually is pretty crazy how much... stuff goes wrong. It's just crazy. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So all of that went through and everything. Now, are you still working with the Fairness Campaign?
Yes. Okay. I still am co-chair of the Faith Leaders for Fairness, along with Derek Penwell, Reverend Derek Penwell from Douglas Christian Church.
Oh, cool.
So we still do that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what kind of things do you all do with the Fairness Campaign?
Well, the main thing that we do is try to build a coalition of faith leaders across the state of Kentucky that can speak to the need for statewide protections for lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender citizens who can still be fired from their job for their sexuality or gender identity. They can be kicked out of restaurants, thrown off buses, and this stuff happens on a daily basis. So we, as two ministers, try to work with other leaders across the state and faith leaders and impress upon them, please speak to your congregation, speak to your community, gather support for this statewide law to protect these individuals, because even if you're morally against, let's say, homosexuality, as a Christian, you must say that it's not right to discriminate against anyone.
Right.
And so we try to come at it from that angle, and we do our best, but you got to understand, and you know this, Holly, but this state is so heavily entrenched in conservative fundamentalist religion that we it's an uphill battle. So that's what I can say.
Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree. But it's a battle that I think is going to eventually prevail. I think there's no doubt, because I remember when we talked about years ago, I learned about the coalition, faith leaders. I still think that is where it's going to be won. I think that's the block, is where people cannot...
I agree.
Yeah, they can't distinguish the difference between how they feel about their personal faith and how that affects LGBT people and fairness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So so you're doing that, and so you and Dominique, I think you said you two were actually married first, but then you did you eventually get I don't want to use the word legally married, but did you get married again? Yeah, afterwards.
Yeah, so yeah, we were married in June of 2006.
Mm-hmm.
Long before marriage equality. And then we were married by my father, who's also an ordained minister.
Mm-hmm.
And that was here in Louisville at the First Unitarian Church.
Mm-hmm.
And so you know, people say, well, you didn't get any rights. Why did you do it? Well, as men of faith, it was important to make that commitment before God.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did. And once the Supreme Court case came down this past June, we had a recommittal. So we renewed our vows and included the legal license along with that, so that now we have the protections, 1,400 rights and protections that all other married couples do.
Oh, my
so,
gosh.
Yeah. Yeah,
wow.
That many.
I had no
so,
idea. Wow.
Yeah, I think heterosexual folks take those for granted, but it's a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Too, and this is way off track, but I think it's some of the things that we take for granted, that people take for granted until they are in a situation that they have to deal with it. But people that are privileged is the area that we talk about a lot in trans women, is that you go from being a male privileged, especially if you're a white male, perceived as straight, middle class, upper class male, and you've got all these privileges, and you move into the world of womanhood or trans womanhood, mm-hmm. and it decreases your privilege considerably. You go from like the top of the heap to the bottom of the heap pretty quickly, or near the bottom
right.
of the heap. Trans women of color probably is the, and I don't want to say this, and you know that's my opinion, but as far as society sees that group, is probably much lower than even the trans women, which is really close to that level. But it's also it's the theory of mine, is that if you live a privileged life, you don't know about, it's more of an ignorance. It's a lot of times say, well, because you hear a lot of people that are privileged lives say things like, well, all you got to do is work harder, or work hard and you get what you want. Well, you know, when you are in a minority, that working hard is not the only thing it's going to get. You got to work twice as hard. And be
That's
twice
exactly
as lucky,
right.
and I think you, what
You're
you said
exactly
is like
right.
the, yeah, like the, you know, people taking things for granted when you are in the church and you walk through all these experiences, you just take it for granted that everybody has all these freedoms, and there's so many people that
right.
do not. It's sad.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And like
so,
you say, it still exists. I mean, we have, especially. Transgender women of color being
mm-hmm.
killed at an amazing rate above anyone else.
Right.
And it's because their lives are devalued.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got
yeah.
to stop.
Yeah, it
and
has
so
to
we,
stop.
You know, it's awful.
Yeah, yeah. And it's the pathetic thing, the most pathetic thing that I see, and I hear ever so often hear this, and it amazes me and shocks me and angers me when I hear it, is that you've made that choice to be that person, or to live that, as you say, that lifestyle. So it's almost like, okay, so therefore you deserve to be murdered, or you deserve to be in poverty, or you deserve to be homeless. And nobody deserves that. It just is pathetic to hear people say things like that.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah. So... So everything is there pretty good. Now, I think I understand that you are trying, you and Dominique are looking to adopt a child.
Yes, that has always been our dream. And so once we were legally married and had those protections, we began the adoption process. And we've completed all the paperwork and are now in the process of waiting for a mother or a family to choose us as adopted parents. So we're
wow.
very, very excited.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. based on your research, because I know you're probably very familiar with what's going on with how people how this works. Is it gay couples adopting successfully at a pretty good rate, or is it really harder for gay couples than it is for straight couples?
Well, I think, you know, it's hard for me to answer that, because for us, you know, we've had several birth mothers who made it clear they don't want a same-sex couple to adopt. So we've experienced that, although I have peers, same-sex couples, both men and women, who have adopted successfully. So you know, it's just kind of as it goes, but it is frustrating, and I think there's still more than we'd like to admit of folks who don't want that.
Right, right, exactly. Yeah. So you just kind of, it's kind of like a waiting game at this point. There's nothing
you can do.
That's exactly
what it is.
Yeah.
No.
Now, is there like a period of time you wait? Do you resubmit, or you just kind of wait for years?
You can wait. Yeah, I mean, you can wait a long time. We don't anticipate it going, you know, years, hopefully, but, you know, it's certainly gone months now. And, you know, adoption, it's expensive. And so we have really tried, we started a GoFundMe site, and we've tried to raise the money for it. But some of them, you'll get leads from the agency we're with. And when I say leads, they'll send you out information. Okay, we've got a birth mother here, you know, and here's the attorney fees. And a lot of these are $30,000 plus.
Wow.
And we don't make that kind of money. There's an additional hurdle there for a same-sex couple, any couple, in just adopting. So you got a lot of stuff you got to get through to finally get the child.
Wow. So give the listeners your GoFundMe site. What is the GoFundMe link?
If they go to GoFundMe and put in Maurice and Dominique's adoption, they can just type that in the search. It'll come up.
Okay,
so Maurice
and
Dominique's adoption.
Yeah, so M A U R I C E.
R I C E. And then Dominique.
Okay.
And put adoption with that, and it'll come up.
Okay. I will. Is it okay for me to share that on our sites and stuff?
Oh, certainly. Certainly.
Okay. I will go and try to find that in a mean. And also, you have a website for True Colors Ministry. Do you have one for that also?
Well, the website we actually have is a Facebook page.
Okay.
And
right.
So they can just search True Colors Ministry in the Facebook search, and it'll come up. And then they request to join, and I can add them.
Okay.
So
cool.
It's that easy.
Cool. Great.
And I'll send you the actual link to the GoFundMe.
That'd be
I'm
great.
Getting that right now.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Great. And we can get the True Colors, and I'll get it on our Facebook page, and definitely on the Prism Radio site, that when people listen to this, they can go to them. So probably the best place I'll put the link for sure would be on the Prism Radio Facebook page, because that's where people will be listening. I'll also put it on this site, but anybody wants to go into the Trans Women National site also, it will be there. So we definitely get
that
out there. Yeah, no problem. Yeah, and much luck on that. Now, do you put, because I've not done this before, and I've known people that have adopted, but do you say boy, girl? Do you say pretty much anything?
Good question. You can, but as far as we're concerned, we don't have a racial profile that we will only accept. So bottom line, we want a healthy baby. It could be boy, girl, black, white, doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. We just want a healthy baby.
Right, right. And age, typically?
Well, typically infant. And so that's what we wanted. But the agency we're with, 99% of these are birth mothers, meaning they're at some point along the pregnancy, and they're wanting to adopt it, child at birth.
I gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty cool. That is pretty cool. And let me check and see. I'm kind of away from my site. Make sure I don't miss anybody that's trying to call. But if anybody is trying to call, has got any questions for Bojangles, you can, it looks like your link came in. But if anybody has any information, you can call 914-205-5655. If you're listening to this show after the fact, as I was telling Bojangles, that probably 90% of the listeners, this is an archive. They listen to it on their phone. They listen on iTunes. They listen while they're driving or whatever, and they'll listen to it in the next, most of the listeners, it's going to be in the next month, maybe. But there's people that, as I said before, that I can go back and look, and people will listen to my very first show that I did in 2010. Mm-hmm. So it'd be kind of cool that some people come back and listen to the show when maybe, you know, your new daughter that you adopt and goes back at 12 years old can hear talking about you wanting to adopt. That would be kind of pretty cool.
That would be awesome, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that would be awesome. Yeah, yeah. So everything else going pretty good? You got anything else going on in your life? I know we talked about a lot of stuff here, but...
Yeah, mainly focus now. I've completed seminary, so I've got my Master's of Divinity.
Wow.
Still with Humana. Yeah, and so mainly I'm focusing right now on the adoption. Dominique is completing his bachelor's at the same time. He's working full-time, so very, very busy.
Good.
Still working on the statewide fairness law and also trying desperately in the faith communities to create an affirming environment for LGBT folk.
Right,
and
yeah.
So that's pretty much my main concern right now. And obviously with the politics, I mean, you can't be an island in the middle of that. You gotta
right.
kind of pick a side, and we won't obviously get into that on the talk show, but gosh, as a minister, people want to know.
Right.
They want to know
what
do you think God would do? So, you know, you can imagine. So it's a very hectic climate. I think our country is probably so polarized.
Oh, it's amazing.
More than I'd ever imagined.
Uh-huh, I agree.
And so my hope is that we get a president that can unite and we can focus on what really matters, which is giving people rights, but also giving them the help and the financial means to care for themselves and pay for their needs. And, I mean, we're a rich enough country where we can do that. So I hope that comes about.
Right, right. So since this is basically a transgender show, and you're kind of, but it's mostly an LGBT show, but it's, but we focus, of course, on the trans part of that most of the time. But one of the things is that there's controversy out here, and you know me probably pretty well that if I sense any possibility that I can say something controversial, I'm going to say it. So, and.
True.
Yeah, so one of the things is that is controversial in our community is, and I was thinking about this the other day, but you're kind of, and I'm not going to put you on the spot and but one of the things is you're talking about is, and I'm going to make two comments, is I made a comment the other day, is in my opinion, politically, just, and it's a charged comment, but my first comment politically is I would vote first for a president that I felt was going to make our country strong, financially safe and secure. In my opinion, that's number one. Based on what I think, obviously it's all opinion at this point. Most of us aren't that smart to know if that president is even going to do that. But I would do, and I think trans. Well, I'll just say it. My personal rights to me are secondary to the country's rights. That's just my upbringing. I mean, that's how I look at things. Now, ideally, and this is a tough call, but ideally, I would hope that those two things would mesh together, is that they would say this is important and this is important. But one of the things so that's my comment number one, and that's as far as I'm going to go with that. The second thing is that there's this controversy about Caitlyn Jenner being Republican. And there's a picture of Caitlin praying with some people and stuff. And I was thinking about this the other day. I hadn't said this to anybody, but just kind of popped in my head. And then it made me think about when you were talking about it. And you're very familiar with the transgender situation and you've been very good at helping us, our fight in that direction. I'm greatly appreciated for that.
I hope so.
Yeah. So I was thinking more and more kids are transitioning earlier and earlier and earlier. So my first thought is, and this is one of the comments I said, so if you, and I've said this before, and it's a very strong, controversial, general statement, but if you feel that a transgender person cannot be Republican, then you don't understand gender identity.
Mm-hmm.
And now the politics part of it has nothing to do with your gender identity. For example, you can be a woman, a cisgender woman, which is of 30 years old. You can be a Republican for there, and nobody's going to say, "Well, you're a woman, so why? How can you be a Republican?" Because nobody says that too much. I mean, there's some that may say that, but So what I wonder is that as people transition earlier and earlier, they actually live almost as a cisgender person. More and more is that more and more of their politics may have nothing to do than with their gender, their membership, so to speak, in the LGBT community. And to me personally, if a gay person wanted to be a conservative Republican, I think that's what we're fighting for as much as anything. You have the right to do what you want to do, not to do what I think you should do. That's just my opinion.
Sure. Yeah, you're free to do what you want, and you have that right. And we're free to disagree. That's the thing about it, you know.
Right.
Just because we're all in one minority group doesn't mean we're all going to agree, and that's okay.
Right. Yeah.
It doesn't take the strength away from the group. But I think, and you brought up Caitlyn Jenner, I think some of her comments probably have not helped her.
Not at all.
In terms, you know what I mean. And that just adds, to see her identify as Republican adds fire. She already began, but, you know,
right.
I certainly don't judge people as far as the politics. I judge what they say and do.
Right, so. Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And you know, as I said too, and I don't even want to get on this necessarily, but I'll make one more comment and then we'll get back to a couple and finish up the show, but is that, and I know that, and I've said before, if the TV was on me the first 3 months of my transitioning, people were going to be watching a train wreck. I was a mess. I was battling all kinds of things. And he may be listening tonight. He's a good friend. He attended our Trans Women National Meeting, and he made a comment in the meeting, but I'm not going to say his name because that's part of our policy and stuff. And he said something on Facebook too, so it's somewhat public, but he made a comment that as a gay man, he would be a great person for maybe on that committee of religion, but he said he went from very young, very intelligent, nice, just a really, and I'm impressed with this guy, is he said something like, I went from conservative Republican to Democrat, and I didn't feel that I had to leave God behind me or something like that. And yeah,
that's powerful.
Yeah, very powerful. And I told him the Saturday night when I talked to him about it, I said, I need to talk to you more about that, because that was really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so it's that same kind of thing. I do think that eventually Caitlin's probably going to get it and probably going to say, gosh, all the things I said was probably stupid and I regret that. And I wish that camera wasn't on me, because I know that I'm just thankful that the camera wasn't on me.
Yeah. And you know what, Holly, I think a lot of it is our own fault, our being the collective hour, expecting a Bruce Jenner who transitions to all of a sudden be as knowledgeable and as wise as it's taken years for the rest of us to get.
Exactly.
It doesn't work that way.
Oh.
It just doesn't.
No.
And we can be upset with her, but she's got growing still to do, and that goes for all of us.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I will tell you that the even for people that like my, and even for, I'm going to say even for me, the most wise person right now, but my experience has been that every so often I will, there's times that I will post on Facebook and saying I would have never said that 8 years ago, and and I'm typing it, I'm thinking, wow, my whole thinking has changed on a lot of this stuff, because it just, because you just, you live a certain life. So it's just really, really amazing. So
yes,
so do everything is I do appreciate you being on the show. Everything is going pretty good. What I wanted to do is and I will, I've got your link for your GoFundMe page. I will pass that along and everything. Hopefully that will go really well for you. And also,
thank you.
What I would like to do too, because I know if I've got any of my officers or board member for Trans Women National listening, they, and when you said the coalition kind of caught my ear, because I remember that that exists and I forgot then that that exists.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to offer my assistance and Trans Women National assistance. It is really interesting is that that is a that is not one of our missions, but we obviously have a lot of we not obviously, but we have a lot of people in our organization that want to improve that part of people's lives. So anything you need help in that direction, and the, with the coalition for faith leaders and everything, just let us know, and I'm sure we've got some people who can get involved with that.
I certainly will. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. So I appreciate you being on. I hadn't seen Dominic. I don't think I've seen you in a while. We just don't cross paths.
I know,
we've
been running.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah. Now, oh, the other thing I was going to ask you is True Colors Ministry, you meet, what, once a month or twice a month? And tell us when you meet and if that's open to the public.
That's fine. It is open to the public. Like any ministry, we meet at various times depending on the availability of the ministry members. So best thing to do, if you're interested, is to join the Facebook group for True Colors, and that will keep you updated on when we meet and what's going on with the ministry at that time. It's open to any and everyone. You don't even have to be under the abbreviations LGBT. We love allies, but it's a ministry that really focuses on loving each other and then spreading that love, not hoarding it, but giving it back to the community. So I would encourage anybody. And we've had several transgender members. And so, in other words, come and give us your gifts, meaning your presence. I learned so much from every single person, and am so, I'm a fan of the transgender community and the hell y'all put up with and the grace you return with. I don't know how y'all do it, but it is inspiring to me. And I know that I am one of your biggest fans and continuously want to be supportive and an advocate. So I just want folks to know that.
Yeah. Well, and again, and I'm glad you said it, and I would say that also, because again, for the years, it happens a lot of times, and it's really you can tell when someone of the LGBT community is kind of like, well, the T is, and there's an old saying that the T is silent in the LGBT community, and you can tell when that's kind of the case. We've been very lucky in the city of Louisville that predominantly it is not silent. Predominantly, it is brought along the way, and our fairness acts here in the metro area are evidence of that. But it is also clear where you have been for many years that I've seen is that you clearly make it that the trans part of the LGBT is equally important to you, and I do greatly appreciate that.
You're very welcome.
Yeah. Well, fantastic. We need to get together more often and not be strangers. And again, anything we can do on our end, anything I can do to let you know or that you need, just let us know. And I appreciate you being on the show.
Thanks so much, Holly, and thanks for everyone listening.
Yeah, thank you. And we'll let Bojangles go, and I've got a couple announcements before we go for the end of the night here. But, again, that was Bojangles and Bojangles Blanchard. Bojangles, are you still there?
I am.
Oh, you know, I got a note here. I was going to ask you, I don't think I've ever asked you where the name Bojangles came from. Is that a given name?
Oh, okay. No, it's a nickname. It's a nickname. When I was real little, like three, right in that area, I could hear a song on the radio or see a dance on television and do it right back and didn't have to see it again. So I was given the nickname after the old, the legendary tap dancer, Bill Bojangles.
Yeah.
So
uh-huh.
It stuck around for all these years.
Wow.
That's where it came from.
Oh, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Yeah, I don't think for a long time I knew that Maurice was your name. I just thought Bojangles was. And I guess because it tells you how assumptive I was, is that I thought because your accent and the name, for some reason, you were from Louisiana. And I kept saying, I think, in fact, the first time I met you, I said, well, I was born in Louisiana. You must be from Louisiana. So,
yeah,
it was pretty funny.
I think I remember that.
Yeah.
Well, thank you again for having me on, Holly.
Yeah, thank you again. Thank you. Have a good evening.
All right.
And tell Dominique I said hi.
I will. Thank you again.
Great.
Bye.
So, again, that was Bojangles, a really wonderful person, and does a lot of things that for the LGBT community, serving people that are looking, especially in the faith direction. And again, you know, if it isn't for you, it isn't for you. If it is for you, then Bojangles is certainly someone that you can connect with. And if you do want to connect with him, feel free to get in touch with him. You can do it on his Facebook page or on the True Colors Facebook page. And if you want to contact me, I can relay the message to him. And just done some amazing things. I don't know if you can feel it on the air, but you definitely do when you're with him, of a peaceful spirit. There's definitely some love coming from his direction, and you just feel that type of chemistry, the type of person there. So really, really amazing. A couple things is we have, again, some announcements. Girls' night, ladies' night out, friends' night out. Anybody is welcome. Everybody is welcome. You just got to be 21 and over. Every Wednesday night at Chill Bar here in Louisville at 6 o'clock till about 10 o'clock. The next one is, of course, this Wednesday, the 24th. And I made a comment on Facebook. If anybody wants to host their own, no matter where they are, it may take some marketing. It may take some even suggestions or whatever if you want us to help you with something. Doubtful you will need it, but we're here to help in that direction. So and it's almost March, kind of crazy. March 5th, Trans Kentucky Monthly Meeting. They have it at 7:30 down in Lexington at the GLSO Pride Center. And if you need information on that, this the calendar, Trans Women National Calendar, has this information on there. And then the next Trans Women National Monthly Meeting is going to be the 19th of March, and that's at 6 o'clock. So that's the next couple things going on with Trans Women National, with a lot of things. We also have some other things coming up here in the community that I wanted to share. If I can get, I'm trying to pull this up here, but there is a, I'm trying to find the exact date. It is, well, I don't see March 18th. I don't see I guess it's not on Facebook. It's a roast for Simone. Let me see if I can find it on here. So, My computer is really, yeah, darn it, at the Pride Bar. Let's see, Pride. Well, here I am doing this. I should have had this already before. And I'll try it one more time. But Simone was our MC, one of our MCs at our banquet this past year. And she is doing a, there's going to be a roast for Simone at the Play Bar. That is March 12th. And it should be pretty cool. Saturday, March 12th, the roast begins at 8 o'clock p.m. and the doors open at 7 o'clock. That's at Play here in Louisville. And it is part of the Kentuckiana Pride Foundation fundraiser. And it's Simone was a performer here in town. She's now a DJ here. That is a very popular, very successful DJ here in town. So that should be really fun. I'm going to plan on being there. So anybody wants more information, they can check with us with that. And also give a lot of love out to the Kentuckiana Pride Foundation. They've been a big supporter of us, and they just donated to our group $1,000 here this past meeting. So that was really cool. So that's the that's going on, and I think that's pretty much the main stuff that I can think about right offhand. If you need anything else, and I will try to continue to update the calendar. Check on that and let us know, or if you got anything you want to add to that. Don't forget, we also have a directory, a resource directory, which has businesses, churches, and organizations on our website. And you can go there if you're looking for an endo, looking for a salon or a therapist or any of those type of things. So we're adding that hopefully regularly and stuff. So with that said, I appreciate everybody listening, and I will talk to you all very, very soon. I hope you have a good week, and I appreciate it a lot. Oh, the other thing I was going to say is I think it's on the closing here, but definitely you can subscribe to the Blog Talk Radio site, or you can listen to iTunes after the fact. Let us know. Send us some emails if you have any comments, thoughts, questions, any of that kind of stuff. And then I will let you go, and we will talk soon. So that is the show for this evening. I hope you enjoyed it and you will come back soon. Don't forget, Journeys with Julie is the first and third Monday, and Prism Radio is the second and fourth Monday. Julie and I both will do a show together when there is a fifth Monday. All shows are at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern. More information about our radio show and Trans Women National can be found at www.transwomennational.org. You can always listen to past shows either on our Blog Talk Radio page, or we would really love to have you subscribe to our iTunes channel. Just go to the iTunes store and type in TWN Radio as a search. The more that subscribe, the higher rating we get. We would also love to hear from you with any comments or questions. There are various ways you can contact us, and our website has all the links. Just go to the Connect with Us link at the top of the page. Have a wonderful week and keep smiling. Good night.